I appreciate your presence tonight. Brother Brown's mission work, he mentioned it, and I thank you for helping with it financially. A lot of good work going on in Africa. I talked just before I left to come down here, Pastor Chris, the pastor Grace Hill in Nigeria called me. And he'd called me to talk about Dropbox. They'd had a little trouble with it, but we got it straightened out. If you don't know what Dropbox is, it sure is a wonderful thing. I got a Sony program I can record a message, feed it onto the Sony program, and I got a thing down there where Dropbox comes up. You can just click on it, drag it down, put it on Dropbox, and it's over there. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. A lot of good things going on over there. Radio, I'm on a lot of it. I'm on a shortwave radio. They say something like 40-something countries, because shortwave is not what it used to be. However, in third world countries, at one time, they didn't have no way to know what's going on outside the world without the shortwave. Most of them do now, so it's not what it used to be. But I'm on two stations in Kenya, one in Uganda, three in Nigeria, and the African Fund owns our own station in Liberia, and I'm on there. That station's been a wonderful thing. I've had somewhere from that station, I've had over 200 people that reported being saved that I believed them. I get a lot of letters and people will say they're saved, and I don't know what to believe them or not. Some of them probably are and some of them probably not, but I don't count them unless they convince me. And a lot of them don't convince me. I've had 29 reported in this year that I believed. It's a wonderful work, opportunity to reach a lot of people. Couldn't be reached, as far as I know, no other way. I plan to get back on the mission field and get out there. I planned on going to Zimbabwe and Botswana in October. And I had to apply for a new passport. And they told me that would take 18 weeks. And used to wasn't nothing to it. You just do that every 10 years, but 18 weeks. So that put it a little late. I wasn't sure I'd get it then from the way they're talking. But I decided not to bother the holidays, and after the holidays, maybe we'll look at it again. But I appreciate you. Pray for me and pray for those people over there, people who are listening to the radio. And pray for me tonight. Alice said, told me tonight she wanted me to speak plain. I said, speaks plain? She didn't take much to that. And on the way up here, I tried to get her to start a testifying meeting. She didn't take much to that. So I guess I'll have to do the best I can preaching to you tonight and speaking plain. Brother Brown come by this morning right out of the blue. I wasn't expecting it at all. And I told him I would, and I began to thinking about what will I do. I've got maybe four letters from a Jehovah Witness out of Hartsville, Tennessee. I don't know him. I doubt if he knows me, but just probably knows of me. But he's been writing me letters and trying to tell me some things about them and get me on Jehovah Witness Internet. And I don't care nothing about Jehovah Witness Internet. So I've been thinking about them, and I felt impressed to send him some of my radio CDs. So I made a copy of two. I made a copy of one that just uses the word accept. And that'll be my subject tonight. And I made him another one. My title was Cast into Hell. I'm going to use accept, but I'll cast a little hell into it too here tonight. I think it's important that we take this message to everybody in any way that we can. He may not listen to them, but he may. He won't like what he hears, but he needs to hear them. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 20, he said, except your righteousness exceed the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. I want to start right there with that. Except, E-X-E-P-T. You hear accept a lot, but you don't hear that word much. But it's a strong word. It means there is no alternative to what is being said. So accept. If your righteousness don't exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you're just not going to make it. There's no alternative to that. You've got to exceed that. The scribes and the Pharisees were depending on their good works. They believed in keeping the law. But every last one of them were lawbreakers. The law doesn't save anybody. What the law does is condemns us so we can know we need to be saved. You don't have to be told the story of Adam. But his sin and his nature become weakened. And that nature was passed on to all of us. Paul said, by one man's sin, death in the world. And so death was passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Romans 5 and 12. He said, Romans 3 and 10, it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Solomon said, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Paul also said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is a lot of that in the scriptures. A lot of evidence that all of us were born sinners. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. Do it the other way, you get the horse in front, behind the cart pushing or something. It just ain't that way. We are born sinners, and because of that, we sin. We have that nature, Adam's nature. We came into the world speaking lies, we're told. I can remember my children when they were just yay long, you know, have a bad dream or something. Mom, Dad, in the middle of the night, water. I'd get up and go get a glass of water and carry in there, and they wouldn't even touch it. Now, that's just a little white lie, but it's a lie. Listen, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I'm preaching tonight maybe to everybody, maybe saved. But listen, you need to take it on to somebody else any way you can. Witness. I witnessed to a man this week, didn't believe nothing. His name is Chuck. He works on lawnmowers, and he'd worked on my lawnmower four or five times, and I liked the man, and he liked me. I knew he liked me, and I liked him. This past week, I had to carry it back again, and I witnessed to that man. He said, I hadn't been in church in 60 years. My opinion, something bad happened in the church that had a bad effect on that man that turned him off. He thought when he died, he'd just lay down and go to the dust, and that's all it was to it. I let him know it's different. But he's really hard when this was. I told him he's going to hell. They need to be told. It's a bad place. They need to escape it. How can they escape it if we don't tell them? I told him he's going to hell. He said, well, there has to be somewhere. Well, that's a hard one, isn't it? But listen. All have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. And they're not going to make it by keeping commandments because they're breaking them. And every time they break one, it condemns them. It says you're a sinner every time. That's the way we know sinners. We're sinners. Because the commandments, we've heard them. And we know when we do something it says not do, it's a sin. But look, you've got to know you're a sinner before you can get saved. There's no exceptions to that either. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. Now this is real. There is no exception to it. If a man don't repent, he's going to perish. It means he's going to die and he's going to lift up his eyes in a devil's hell. Repentance is turning from sin to the Lord Jesus. Some have a big debate about it being a change of mind. The modernist says a change of mind, but all they mean is just a decision. That won't get it. The will does have to be changed. You have to turn from your sin up to the Lord Jesus. You can't do that unless you realize that you're a sinner. Listen, if you don't, you're going to perish. It means you're going to die. And you're going to be in hell forever and ever and ever and ever. And you could say ever, forever, and you wouldn't get done. There's no end to it. Hell is an awful thing. Jesus talked about that last day on the judgment day. He said the angels will bring them in and set the righteous on his right hand and the wicked on the left hand. Now there's no in between. They're righteous and there's wicked. There's no one that's part righteous and part wicked. They're either wicked or they are righteous. Now, listen, we that are born again are righteous inside, but outside we're still wicked. But on the resurrection morning, we're going to have a spiritual body. That spiritual body don't mean it's spirit, but it means it's spiritual. It can keep the law. John said, we don't know what we'll be like, but when we see him, we'll be like him. Talking about Jesus, that'll be good enough, won't it? When we get that new body, we'll be fully and totally righteous and we'll stand on the right-hand side. But if you hadn't made peace with God, you'll be on the left. And you'll hear Jesus say unto them, depart from me, you curse, unto everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. John talked about the judgment in Revelation 20. He said, all whose names weren't found written in the book were cast into the lake of fire. Cast in there. That's what's going to happen. That's what happened to that rich man. Fared sumptuously every day, but he didn't repent. And he knew he ought to, because when he got in hell, he wanted Lazarus to be sent to his brothers. He knew better. But he put it off. Had plenty of time. But listen, nobody knows how much time they got. Our friends and our neighbors, we don't know how much time they got. We're under an obligation. The church's commission is to all the world. All the world. The way to do it is to do what the Lord wants you to do, tells you. Go tell him what he wants you to tell him. It'll work. It'll work. I want to take you to the fourth chapter of John. Fourth chapter of John, there's a nobleman down at Capernaum. Capernaum is a little town, we'd call it, down on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus came over to Cana of Galilee, 14 miles away. He came over to Cana of Galilee, where he turned the water into wine. And the nobleman had a son that was dying. He heard that Jesus was over there at Cana. So he left his dying son and he went over to Cana of Galilee to get Jesus to heal his son. Now, there's not a one in the house tonight wouldn't agree with me that man had some faith. He wouldn't have left a dying son, went over to get Jesus to heal him if he hadn't had some faith. But how much did he have? Did you know you can believe a lot and doubt a little? Or you can believe a little and doubt a lot? He bound to have some faith. He went over there. But when he gets over there, he asked Jesus to come down and to heal his son. And Jesus said, you won't believe except you see signs and wonders. He said, sir, come down and heal my son. He's dying. Jesus said, go your way. Your son's alive. John then says the man believed. Well, he must have added some more to his faith, but we're going to find out he wasn't there yet. See, you can believe and have a little doubt, and that don't get it. You got to believe from the depths of the heart, fully believe, no doubt whatever. He started on the way home. Jesus told him his son is alive, and he started on the way home with nothing else he could do. But his son was alive down there, and his servant started out to get him to tell him what had happened. And they meet out there in the middle, and his servant said, your son's alive. And he says, say now, I'm paraphrasing, say now, what time was that? He told him what time it was. He said, that's the time. That's the time yesterday. Yes, that's the time he done it. You know, Now he believed. He believed with all of his heart and his house. I think this is a good picture of degrees of faith. But you can't have no doubt and get saved. You got to believe from the very, very depths of your heart. Now you've got to believe strong enough that you can trust Jesus. Trust is a strong word. I was accountable the time I was 6 years old and got saved when I was 13 years old, about midnight in my home in bed. And I must have prayed thousands of prayers. They didn't get that high. But that night I was in big trouble. I was in big trouble. I got helpless. I thought I may die any time. And I thought any time now I could be in hell. And it was real to me. I was in big trouble. I had to have some help. Wouldn't nothing help me. Couldn't nothing help me. I called Mom and Dad out of bed and they prayed for me, but that didn't get nowhere. Nothing. I had nothing. I was helpless. That's where you got to get. When you get helpless, then you go to Jesus. That's what I did that night. I remember just looking up and said, Lord, if I'm ever saved, you're going to have to do it. What you say don't make any difference, I don't think. But what I did made a difference. I just put my soul in his hands and peace flooded my heart. Boy, I tell you, I don't want to be all night here. But the, you know, there's a lot of people talk about do this and do this and do that and do this and do this. If you do this, if you feel like doing this, do that. We need to cut that out. I've heard people tell their testimony of they said they had to do something, and some people get past that and then they finally get saved. But some people, I believe, because they felt like they had to do that, and when they'd done it, they felt better. They had a clear conscience now. I've done what I thought I was supposed to, and they feel good about that. That's Carmelite doctrine. Then Alice talked to her one. A woman, she's a nice woman. We talked to one, and Alice asked her if she had, when she was baptized, if she had that good feeling. And she said, yes, I felt better. You see, as an answer to a good conscience, she thought that she had to be baptized to get saved. And when she did that, she thought she'd done what she was supposed to. And she felt good about it. But that's not salvation. Salvation is when you get to that low place and throw yourself on the Lord's mercy and find peace to your soul. When I was pastoring Summershade, I don't know how I got off on this because I felt like it again. When I was pastoring Summershade, there's a church not too off a floor from Summershade having a revival. They had a pastor from way up in the north in Hodgensville, I believe. When they give an altar call, us 6-7 kids come to the altar. But every few minutes, they jump off that altar and go around shaking hands with everybody and then go back and sit down on the altar and start praying again. Listen, we need to tell them about Jesus and what the book says, not add to it. We're saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. Amen. Listen. John 6 and 44. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. Now you remember I said this is a strong word and there's no exceptions to it. I've watched some of those modern things on TV. Ain't a long time. But way back I watched Billy Graham. They'd walk down that aisle giggling and laughing, having a big time. You don't get saved that way. When you get saved, you're not having a big time until after you get saved. It's important that we tell them like it is. There's lots of things, there's just no exception to it. If Jesus says it this way, it's no exception to it, even if he didn't use the word. It's the way it is just because Jesus said so. He don't lie. He don't lie. He tells it like it is. Jesus said, no man cometh to me except the Father which sent me and draw him. There is a drawing power. When people will humble themselves, that they'll listen to the witnesses and listen to the preacher, the Holy Spirit will move in. That's the way the Father works. He works through the Holy Spirit. There is no power in me. There is no power in Brother Moran. The power is in the Holy Spirit of God. But listen now. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It don't come any other way. I hear people talking like just some point God just sticks faith in. It don't work that way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It comes by hearing. And it's not just the word, but it must be the Father drawing, calling, Holy Spirit working. The Apostle Paul said, our gospel come not to you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost. That's the way that it works. That's when the Father is working. He's dealing with the Holy Spirit. He's dealing with hearts. And if they won't turn off the Word, if they won't turn off the Holy Spirit, what God does through the Holy Spirit makes a believer out of them. No other way can you become a believer than listen to the Word. Don't turn off the Word. Don't turn off the Spirit. Let God deal with you. And he'll change you. He'll change you. Can't be done any other way. Can't be done any other way. God must deal with people. Luke 18:3. Jesus said, except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Can you imagine? Little children, say 2 and 3 year old, just turning them loose and nobody helping them with anything. They're totally dependent on somebody else. You put them at the table, they could probably feed themselves. But they wouldn't have no table to eat from if it were for somebody else. They're dependent on somebody else. Before you get saved, you come totally dependent. That's what I said. That's what trust is. When you come to the place that you believe in the Lord strong enough that you can totally depend on Him. Because you are helpless when you come down in the valley. That old thief on the cross, he was helpless. Now it's obvious this man couldn't go do anything. and he'd done a lot of things he shouldn't do. He was a wicked man, dying for that reason, told that other thief that he was. But, you know, he heard enough that he turned to Jesus. That's what you do. There is no alternative to it. You got to realize you're lost. You got to realize you're going to die. You're going to hell. And you got to be honest with yourself that it could be the next breath. And if you really believe that, you're in trouble. That's the way it was with me. The psalmist in the 116th division of Psalm tells my experience. He said, I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and my supplication. Because he's inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. He said, the sorrows of death compassed me. A lot of preachers use that word compassed. It's not compassed, it's compass. It means it's all around him. Sorrows of death compassed him. Pains of hell got a hold on. Now listen. He said, then call out upon the name of the Lord. And that's when you really do it. You know, I told you I'd called on him thousands of times, just words, but that night when I got in the place that psalmist was, I too called on him. I really called on him and put my soul in his hands, and it worked. It worked. The plan of salvation is a wonderful, wonderful thing. There couldn't have been another. Wouldn't no other way. If there could have been another way, it wouldn't have been better. Don't cost us nothing but our pride. Mostly. Jesus said in John 3:3, except you be born again, cannot enter the kingdom of heaven or see the kingdom of heaven. Do you know, I mentioned Young Lives of the Church of Christ while ago in their baptism. Do you know they actually believe that baptism is a birth? They actually believe that. But it's not. It's a burial and a resurrection. And you don't do that until you get saved. You're dead in trespass and sin, but when you get saved, you're made alive unto God. And so then, like Paul said, you say by baptism, you say I'm dead to sin and raised to walk in newness of life. What a difference. What a difference. The new birth is born from above. You're born of the Spirit. It's the Spirit that regenerates you, that makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. You're changed inside. I told you before, until resurrection morning, the body won't be changed, but it's going to be. If we're dead, we're going to be raised in a new body. If we're alive, we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. I'm glad to have that hope. I'm glad. I'm glad that you can have something that you know about. That ever so often the Lord comes by and blesses your soul. Isn't that a wonderful time? It's a wonderful time when you're able to rejoice in the Lord. It's a wonderful time. I wish we could have rejoicing meetings like we used to have. One of the best meetings I was ever in. I've been in a lot of good ones, but New Zion, just outside of Lafayette. I was called helping a meeting there. And like Sunday and Monday, something like that, there's two children got saved, two small children, got saved. The The rest of the week, he was just dead as it could be. The last of the week, he'd just been dead all week. And the Lord told me, you know the Lord speak to you? Do you believe that? He does me. I don't hear no audible voice, but I know what he's saying to me. He said it's going to break out. If I didn't know the voice of the Lord, I wouldn't believe that, but I know the voice of the Lord, and I believe what he's saying. We come in the back door that night, me and the pastor at the same time, and he's wanting to know what I thought about the meeting. He's thinking about breaking it. I said, we better wait and see here how this goes. I started preaching. I was preaching on the knowledge of salvation and what it meant to you. The Lord used that to bless those people, I reckon. And they started shouting. I believe everybody in the house was rejoicing and shouting except the lost people. I mean, it was a big time we were having. And that went on for about 2 hours. And the meeting was on. We went on another week, and we had 15 saved. Well, we need to get ourselves right in the center where the Lord used us. Yield to him. Let him have his way, and he'll bless you. He'll bless you. This time I'll turn the service back to Brother Moran. Do appreciate your presence tonight. Do pray for me and the work that I'm doing. Pray for all those lost people that hearing the gospel that probably never heard it before. May God bless all of you. Brother Moran.